Xamarin in a .NET 5 world with Maddie Legere.
The Azure DevOps Podcast is a show for developers and DevOps professionals shipping software using Microsoft technologies. Each show brings you hard-hitting interviews with industry experts, innovating better methods, and sharing success stories. Listen on to learn how to increase quality, ship quickly, and operate well. And now your host, Jeffrey Palermo.
Welcome to the show. I'm Jeffrey Palermo, your host. Make sure to check out www.azuredevops.show for past episodes and show notes. And the goal of this podcast is to empower you and your teams with the information that you need to move fast and deliver consistent quality using everything in the .NET ecosystem, which includes Visual Studio and Azure and all the related tools, and also to run your software systems with confidence as you run it there in Azure. And for those of you running .NET and Azure-related user groups, I've been doing a lot of online video presentations, and if you run one of those groups, I'd love to give a presentation for you. Our sponsor and my employer, ClearMeasure, is a software architecture company that empowers .NET teams to be self-sufficient and able to deliver world-class results. And if we can help, please get in touch. If you're a .NET developer and also would like to like a path to become an architect, we are hiring. Just apply on the website, clearmeasure.com, and four positions are open at the time of the recording. Well, our guest today is Maddie Legere, and she's a program manager at Microsoft on the Xamarin team, and she's been with the team since 2018 working on Xamarin tooling. She first worked with the Xamarin team as a Microsoft intern and realized the impact that she could have creating amazing developer tools and frameworks. And Maddie's current focus is on making Xamarin.Forms developers more productive than ever. You can find Maddie on Twitter and GitHub at MaddieLegere1. At MaddieLegere1. Maddie, welcome to the show. How are you?
Good. How are you? Thanks so much for having me.
No, I'm excited. We're right on the heels of .NET Conf. You were one of the speakers there. You shared some really interesting things, and we'd love to be able to share things and the future. You know, you're deep in the Xamarin and the mobile world at Microsoft, and there's a lot of people that saw your session. But for those who maybe missed it and are getting to know you for the first time, what's your journey been? What led up to you being on this team?
It's a great question. Yeah, I think as you have said, I was a Microsoft intern, and I have a software engineering degree, and I've always wanted to be a software engineer. And then I started writing code full time, and was like, I don't like some of these tools sometimes. And I'm also very frustrated a lot, as I'm sure most developers are. So instead of, toughing it out, which I probably could have / should have done, I started looking into program management. And at the time that I was an intern, Xamarin was actually acquired into Microsoft. So, and I was in the Cambridge office and in Boston area, Massachusetts, and they came into that office. So I got to meet them, and I was like, oh, you guys work on tools for developers? So I can still kind of be a developer and develop, but I don't have to do it to ship that code to other people. I can just make people's lives easier when they're developing. Mm-hmm. And they were like, yeah, that's what we do. Part of kind of the .NET ecosystem and all these things. And a lot of the space was new to me, but I was really excited about working on developer tooling, and it kind of let me stay in touch with my developer roots without having to write production quality code as a full-time job. And so that's when I made the switch into PM and Xamarin, and it, the timing was very lucky and it all worked out. And so I'm in the Boston area with a lot of the Xamarin team. Mm-hmm. But we're very remote. We were remote far before 2020 kind of derailed things. So we haven't had too tough of a time adjusting to this, but once I started on the team, I kind of grew in scope from working on very specific parts of, you know, making your UIs to kind of the broader story of developing Xamarin Forms apps to now kind of just Xamarin productivity. So it's been a very exciting couple of years on the team.
Yeah. And Xamarin seems to be on fire, just moving to so many new things coming out so quickly. It's really interesting.
Yeah, we've been picking up a lot of steam. When I started on the team, I remember being like, oh, this is cool. And hearing a lot of complaints about, you know, specific things that they were like, you know, customers were like, you need to solve this, you need to solve this. And it's great to see kind of over the past couple of years how that wave of complaints has completely cycled out into a new wave of complaints, which is now completely cycled out into a new one. So I think that means we're doing our job. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, over time, the story for developing on non-Windows computers has been kind of a fragmented one. And I think, you know, Android and iOS is, it's not just, oh, develop for all these things. It's really just Android, iOS. Is that true from where you sit, or is there a distant third that is even in the picture?
In the mobile space, I mean, not really, but we do have quite a few Xamarin Forum customers targeting Windows and Mac as well. So kind of the mobile desktop, we've been starting to reframe it in all the .NET planning world as client development. So you've got this Blazor web story. That's when you have your browser, and a browser obviously runs anywhere, and there's all the different kinds of browsers. But with client development, we look at that as desktop and mobile, things really running locally on your actual device, whether that's in your hand or on your desk.
Okay. So as we ground the listeners, what is the overall vision for where this is going? And then we'll talk about what people are doing now, but where is it going? And, you know, 5 years from now, we won't even talk about 10 years from now, but 5 years from now, what does your team hope will be the normal for C# developers?
Yeah. I would love to see a world in which you write your code, you write your app, you write your UI, your business logic, all the things, all of your integrations, all of your device related specific stuff is all shared. And then you like right click deploy, and it runs on all the platforms you want it to run it on. And it's responsive and looks nice. Yeah.
Okay. That would be awesome. What is the state of the art now? And there's probably a lot of developers out there that kind of been looking at this and lurking and haven't really jumped into their, you know, a Xamarin app before. What can they do now, and what is not quite integrated into that vision yet?
Yeah, I think most of our developers are between 80 and 85% shared code right now, which is pretty good considering when Xamarin Forms was created in 2015, really all you were sharing with Xamarin was your business logic, which is a smaller piece of the puzzle now that every app has all these beautiful, really intricate screens and everything has to be branded and all that. So we're pretty close, but that last 15, 20% is the toughest 15, 20% because that's when you get into really specific things, things very specific to Android, very specific to iOS, or things that are very, very customized. So we one of our big focuses with the UI kind of side of the house is making you write as little custom code as possible for your front ends. So sometimes you want this, you know, a simple example would be like a button, and you have a certain brand and you want your button to look like a very specific thing. And your designer says it has to have this specific animation on it, and it needs to be, you know, this radius and blah, 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 blah. And you go to build it and you get 95% of the way there with the button. And all of a sudden there's just like one little tweak you need to make that Xamarin Forms doesn't have in the shared layer yet. So you have to go into Android and build it. You have to go into iOS and build it and kind of stick it back in. And then on the flip side, you know, we have access to pretty much all of the native APIs within C#, but you might be developing for iOS or Mac and need to use some framework that someone developed for the native stacks, whether that's Swift or like a CocoaPod, any of those things. And then all of a sudden you're stuck writing your own binding in Xamarin to that library, or you have to figure out a way to pull that in. So those are the two biggest pieces of the puzzle we are, you know, trying to solve in the immediate future. And then we'll see where that takes us in terms of shared code percentage. And, you know, hopefully that brings us a little bit closer to that 100% goal.
Okay. In the case where the what some applications start is just accessing data, forms over data, they don't care what it looks like. Maybe it's from internal users, but, oh, some have Android and some have iOS. Is it, what's the state of that now? If you just want it to work and just have an app to just access some data and maybe a few functions in your pocket, what level of share code is it currently?
Oh, that is a 100% supported situation for us now, which we're excited about. Most of the apps I write, which a lot of times are for demos or just for like little things that I want to do, and I'm by no means a designer. They're all forms. I don't touch the native stuff. So we see people get into native usually when it's very, very intense design. When it comes to, you know, like a couple buttons that do a thing, a settings page, internal apps, that is well supported and also looks pretty good out of the box because it looks like the native platform. It uses the native controls. So if you stick the same app on iOS, it's going to look like an iOS app. It's good.
Gotcha. Well, a lot of people are reevaluating with .NET 5 coming out and everything that hitches onto that. They're reevaluating, okay, what should I change? What's new now? And so can it give us an update on if somebody's diving in, starting with, okay, maybe I'm going to modernize something, but hey, .NET 5, what does a developer setup look like in the .NET 5 world for mobile?
Mobile. Yeah. Oh my goodness. It's super exciting. We've been a big part of the journey into the .NET, kind of the one .NET story over the past couple of years, because Xamarin runs on Mono, Blazor runs on Mono, which is basically .NET open source before .NET was open source and optimized for mobile. And so the Mono runtime team and the .NET runtime team have been over the past couple of years slowly smushing everything together. So it runs as one big happy family and you don't have to choose your runtime anymore. And you know, maybe it's a flag or something that you switch between. So the original plan was that in .NET 5, we were going to have this big, you know, all right, everything's merged, the world is perfect. And of course, 2020 happened. So we took a lot of the Xamarin stuff and we split it across the two releases. So .NET 5, we focused really on Xamarin Forms 5 kind of being a parallel release and having a lot of the optimizations we want to bring into .NET from the UI side of the house. And then .NET 6 is when all of that runtime goodness is going to land. So with .NET 5, you install Visual Studio. You can click off all the workloads you want, whether that's desktop, mobile, web, IoT, extensions, all the things. And then, you know, file new Xamarin app brings you into a C# MVVM XAML experience that you're familiar with if you've done Windows desktop development. And, you know, it's C#. We use a lot of the same .NET libraries. So you can use your Newtonsoft JSON. You can go to your API calls and hit those endpoints. You can hook into Azure and use those SDKs however you want. We have people using Intune for device management and all that stuff with Xamarin. So it's very familiar if you've done .NET before. If you're wildly new to .NET, you might, I was overwhelmed with Visual Studio because I came from kind of a VS Code / command line background. But once I got used to it, I actually kind of like it. There are things I like VS Code for more, and there are times I'll open my C# file in VS Code or my project file in VS Code and just change a few things. But I have really started to appreciate Visual Studio too, so.
Many thanks to our podcast sponsor, Clear Measure. Clear Measure is a software architecture company that empowers clients' development teams to be self-sufficient, moving fast, delivering quality, and running their systems with confidence. Whether starting a new project or developing new technologies or techniques, Clear Measure sets up your team to deliver world-class results. Learn more at www.clearmeasure.com. Clear Measure, empowering software delivery.
Yeah, I'll second that. Working with the Microsoft development tooling for 23 years, that's one thing that's been consistent. It's the tooling that's added on top of all these frameworks and languages. It just puts everything on steroids.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Okay, so easy to get started. What's the Mac story? Mac Mini? When do you have to have a Mac now with the .NET 5 side?
Yeah, it's actually very exciting. We've made a lot of progress on this. And Apple, rightfully so, you know, wants you to have their devices to create apps for their devices, which makes sense. And they have a whole developer ecosystem. And part of that is because they want to make sure that there's high quality, well-tested content being provided to their customers. And so the requirement for a long time has been that if you even want to, you know, debug an app that you wrote, it has to be on a Mac. And so with Xamarin and with .NET, a lot of our developers are on Windows. So the story that we used to have was you would pair to your Mac over the internet, and we'd see development teams with like a single 10-year-old Mac mini shoved in a closet somewhere on the network. And you'd pair to that Mac over the internet. We'd pop up kind of a remote simulator for you on your Windows machine. And it could be a little slow sometimes. It could be a little gimmicky, especially if your Mac wasn't on the same version as your PC. But you know, it would get the job done without you having to have two laptops up at once, or a PC and a laptop and all the things. And then we started to look at what we could do without having a Mac in the loop, and leveraging the, you know, Apple developer account provisioning service that's kind of more on the cloud, and how we provision things. And provisioning is really just the process of telling an app it's allowed to run on a certain device. So, you know, looking at how we could do that without the Mac in the loop kind of for the first steps. So you do file a new Xamarin app, you deploy it to an Android emulator, and you have an iPhone. Like most people do have an iPhone, and you're like, oh, I want to put this on my iPhone now. Oh, I can't. Oh, I have to buy a Mac. Oh man, this is too much. Okay, I guess I'm just building an Android app. So we looked at ways if we plugged in the iPhone to the actual Windows machine to build kind of the outside of the app for you. So the signing and deployment, and kind of do like a wildcard strategy so that there's a shell of a Xamarin app that's, you know, very basic, but you stick all of your code into it. And that is called Xamarin Hot Restart. So what we do with it is you have to sign in with an Apple developer account. Currently, they require paid ones. I think they're $100 a year, but we're looking at free support. So maybe one day you won't have to renew it. We'll see. But you plug in your iPhone, and Xamarin, the first time, builds this blank app, sticks it on the device, provisions it, does all the things, and then takes your code, builds that, and sticks it into the blank app and put on the device. And so the original reason we actually started exploring this technology is because we thought it would give you faster builds, which it does. It's way faster because it doesn't have to do the whole packaging and provisioning and deploying the whole thing. But it's, you know, enabled us to, for debugging, plug your iPhone in, kind of play with your app on your device in your hand. And it's coming out a preview soon. It's coming out a preview, I believe, in the next Visual Studio release. And that would be 16.9 as of this recording. And it's been a huge help we've seen for people working from home who don't have the Mac Mini in the closet anymore. So, and as far as the tools go, Visual Studio for Mac and everything runs great on Macs. We're looking at the M1 and the new processors and all that stuff. And we're for sure going to support them, but support's kind of a little wonkier right now because it's brand new.
So I heard you talk about plugging in an iPhone, but for developers now, do they for sure still need a Mac of some type? Or does the iPhone suffice?
The iPhone suffices for most people for development. When you want to deploy, when you want to distribute that app to kind of the App Store or a broader range of customers or do a test flight, you do need to have a Mac at that point. But just for debugging, seeing what it looks like on your phone, you know, the debug version stays on your phone after you unplug it. So for showing it to people,
well, that's huge.
Yeah, it's incredible. I joked about this, I think, at .NETconf. I have not opened my Mac because I'm too afraid to upgrade it to Big Sur because I know it's going to take an hour and a half and all my stuff is going to break. So, and not my Microsoft stuff, like everything is just going to be different. I went into the beta early and quickly rolled back. So all of my app development of late has been on the phone.
So. Okay. Now Azure DevOps has hosted Mac agents. So if you're using that, do you need a local Mac?
Yeah, good question. There are definitely people out there who are using Hot Restart and their iPhone to debug, and then App Center and Azure DevOps Mac agents to build and distribute that way. So it's definitely possible.
Well, that's encouraging.
I think it's really cool. At some point, The nice thing about having a Mac is you have their simulator ecosystem. And so Xcode has a simulator for every type of iPhone that you could possibly imagine and every version of iOS. So if you really want to be thorough about making sure that it's supported, you know, that's definitely the right thing to do. But it works. It works otherwise.
If you're writing an iOS app, you're going to have a Mac. But the question is, does every single developer to do anything have to have the Mac on and all that? Because it used to be that way.
Right. Right.
Which is awesome.
This is also like important for people onboarding people right now into your kind of mobile ecosystem when it's like, okay, I'm going to ship you a PC. Okay. I'm going to ship you a Mac, but like you won't need it for a bit now because you can just plug in your phone or plug in a test device. It's a lot easier to ship a used iPhone than it is to ship a, you know, MacBook Pro. So.
Right. Right. So you mentioned App Center. What is the current in the .NET 5 world now? What is the state of the art when it comes to the team's development and DevOps environment, building, testing, packaging, deploying? What should they choose and what pieces do they put together?
Yeah, Xamarin has always been and .NET a lot has been very much open to all the different tools, but I almost always recommend App Center to people at this point. I love the API for the crashes and kind of the analytics and all that. I find it super easy to use. And you know, it came from Xamarin. It came from the mobile side of the house. So mobile is really the bread and butter there.
It used to be called Hockey App, didn't it?
Yeah. Yep. So Hockey App. And then I think there was like Xamarin Test Cloud was what it was called on the Xamarin side. And those all got stuck pieced together in App Center. And that's what Microsoft actually uses for all of our internal app beta testing is we use App Center. So, you know, Outlook beta and Teams beta are all in an App Center build somewhere and I can go and pull them down from the website. That's how Xbox does all of its insider testing. So even outside of the company, it's super powerful and it is really well integrated with Azure DevOps, with GitHub. You know, you can have the pipe. I haven't touched my pipeline in a little bit, but you know, the app, I push my code to my main branch and then it builds it in App Center and automatically pushes out distributions and bumps the versions for me and everything. And then, you know, my ak.ms short link automatically updates with the new version of my app. And I can say, okay, go there and it'll, you know, the new download's ready for you. And all I did was push code on GitHub.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah. So, for testing with so much code reuse, I can imagine that any kind of test framework would use for the shared code, but the UI and for Windows apps and web apps, it's always been different. What are the libraries? What are the tools for even testing automated, testing locally to get a button and click it, get a text box and type something into it automatically? What are those these days?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I honestly do not know the library names off the top of my head. I know we have a UI test framework kind of in first party. And then the testing framework, the general unit testing framework is similar to what you would do with, you know, anywhere else in .NET, which is nice. We actually have a team that's trying to reuse all their Windows unit tests now on a Xamarin app, which is pretty awesome. But the UI testing, it's always been a kind of difficult process, but that's another place that App Center can really help you. And Azure DevOps is, you know, you upload the builds and there are all these test devices that it's going to run your UI tests for you on. There's some great community frameworks out there too to help you with UI testing. And I wish I knew them off the top of my head, but the best place to find anything Xamarin community is the first Thursday of every month. Go to the Xamarin community standup. It's a live stream that we do on live.dot.dot.net. And we talk a lot there. So that's a good place to pop into if you're interested. Have the Twitch stream on during lunch. It's usually at 1 p.m. Eastern. So lunch or breakfast or dinner, wherever you are.
Awesome. Awesome. We'll include that in the show notes.
Great.
Okay. And then for deployments to whatever it means to tell other people in the organization or product management, hey, the new build's ready for testing. What does that mean now in the latest world with the DevOps environment for .NET 5 and Xamarin?
Yeah, it's I don't want to give you the fake answer, which is it depends, because that's definitely the truth. But we see people handle deployment and pushing updates in a lot of ways. And the big axis of it depends is whether or not it's an internal app or a public app. If you're just deploying things always internally, if it's something, you know, you can force updates on devices if you manage them via something like Intune. You can do your email blast and say, hey, there's a new build, go download it. And then we have with Xamarin, they're just Android and iOS apps. So of course you can put them on the stores. And there are plenty of ways where you can automate kind of the process that uploads it to the App Store for approval, uploads it to the Google Play Store for approval, packages it, takes out all the stuff people don't need to make sure you optimize the size of the app, the size of the package, and the speed with which it starts up. You can test your release builds and have different debug and release configurations all within Visual Studio, which is super helpful because we'll see with debug, you kind of want everything on. You want all the logging. It's going to be a little bit slower. But with release, you can strip out a lot of packages. And of course, the platforms are different too. Android does everything kind of just-in-time compilation as the app is running, and Apple's the opposite. It does everything ahead of time. So we have ways to kind of make Apple more JIT, just in time, make Android more AOT, more ahead of time. So you can play around with all those things and see what works for you and your team. My favorite example, I think, of a really build and deploy, framework is when I use the Outlook app. Right now, the beta app, it just, they push the change and I don't know what happens in the cloud somewhere, but something happens. And before they updated it, they would give you a notification. So they were able to remotely turn on a notification that said, hey, there's a new build available, go download it. But with the new Android work profile, they're able to just update it through the Play Store for me and kind of pull it from wherever that's hiding in the Android work profile world. So it's a, There's a lot of cool things going on that people are really inventive for sure. About.
And as we close up, for the people who have existing Xamarin apps and they've been managing it with different versions, what should they be paying attention to or change with this .NET 5 coming out for their existing apps? What would they miss out on if they didn't go and adopt something that just came out and was announced recently?
Yeah. Xamarin Forms 5 is incredible. There's so many new controls, things like swipe view and carousel view and all these really custom things. We've got a first party shapes and paths framework. So if you're drawing UI in a lot of places, that can be easier for you. And it's really geared towards your UI being easy to write once and run anywhere. And then as things come out, if you get on .NET 5, that means it'll be very easy for you to start using the .NET 6 previews in early 2021. And that's when you're going to start seeing that SDK side of the runtime side of the house start to get merged. So you'll have a new project system. You'll have SDK style projects, kind of the modern way of doing that, simpler project files. And of course, more shared with the .NET runtime. So more and more .NET packages will be able to run within your Xamarin app without any issues. And that's very exciting. So
awesome. Well, hey, lots of stuff. Did we miss anything?
I don't think so. You said my handle in the intro, so feel free to reach out anytime. I'm mostly good about checking my Twitter, so feel free to drop a note.
Awesome. Well, the .NET 5 way, there's so much in it, and it's an exciting time. I've said this a few times before in the last couple decades, but it is now a really exciting time to be a .NET developer.
It really is. It's a fun time, I think, to be in the .NET ecosystem. So,
well, Maddie, thank you so much for coming on the Azure DevOps podcast. We appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me, and I hope you enjoy the rest of 2020 and 2021 yes. A little bit better.
Yes, yes, and Merry Christmas.
Yes, you too.
And until next time, keep shipping.
You've been listening to the Azure DevOps Podcast, a show for developers and DevOps professionals shipping software using Microsoft technologies. Go to www.azuredevops.show for show notes and other episodes. On behalf of your host, Jeffrey Palermo, and our sponsors, Thanks for listening, and may God bless you.